I think it's lifting a little bit to the left. If we could try it one more time, I think we'll get it right.
Berry Pear, this is the fifth time I've tied that bow tie for you.
I think you look grand, Berry Pear. Even if the bow tie's a little crooked.
Right. Well, thank you, Midlars. One more time, Mr. Quince. I know you could do it.
Oh, these pears.
Hey, Poms. What's up? Are we ready to start recording the pro tips for navigating CiderCon? It's coming right up the first week of February.
I'll be with you in a minute, Rhea. I'm trying to get my bow tie on. You know, Chicago is not out in the orchard as it used to be way back when it was Orchard Park or Farewell. That's what it used to be called a while ago before they became a very big city.
I think we have it, Perry Pear. It looks straight as an arrow.
Thank you, Mr. Quince. I think we're ready, Rhea.
Great. Okay. Well, Perry, I tell you, with that bow tie and that little mini tux, you are a stylin'. Watch out, Chicago. Because here comes the talking Poms and a whole bunch of cider-loving fans.
Wait a minute, everyone. There's a big pink Cadillac. It just pulled up to the cider house.
That's right. I got a little surprise for you, talking Poms. Because guess who's here?
Who would that be, Rhea? Would that be Apple?
You're right, Perry Pear. Apple's coming in to help us with this intro. Surprise!
Hello, everyone. It's so good to see you. My, Perry Pear, aren't you looking dapper?
Thank you, Apple. It's good to see you.
I'm sorry I don't have a lot of time, but I'm on my way to, well, many orchards in the southern hemisphere because they're quite busy down there. Everything is fruiting and it's so exciting.
Huh, Apple, I'm really excited that you're able to stop by here today and take a little detour to the cider house. It's always a pleasure seeing you. Mr. Quince, if you could give a count in to Apple, then we could start with the intro for this here episode 163.
My pleasure, Rhea. Counting one, two, three.
Hello, everyone. My name is Apple, and I'd like to wish you a very happy new year for 2019. This week, you're going to be hearing about what is called pro tips for navigating CiderCon. I hope you all have a wonderful time in Chicago. You might see me passing through, and if you do, you know I'll be smiling at you. And by the way, you are listening to Cider Chat.
That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect, Apple.
Thank you, Perry. Perhaps we could take a little stroll out in the orchard before I leave.
That would be great, Apple. I would love to.
Alrighty then. Well, away we go into episode 163. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, cider enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. Bringing us into this week's chat was the Talking Poms. You heard from Perry Pear, Mr. Quince, the Medlars, and Apple. Apple brought us straight into the main topic of this week's podcast, which is pro tips for navigating CiderCon. We have a special guest from Chicago, and that is none other than Ambrosia Borowski, who is both the general manager for the Northmen, a well-known cider bar, and the think tank behind Chicago Cider Week. We're going to go over all that and a bit more, but first, a little bit of news out and about in Ciderville. Last week's episode was 162, and that was with John Martinelli of S. Martinelli & Company, which is based in Watsonville, California. If you don't know where Watsonville is, well, it's about probably like 100 miles plus south of San Francisco. It is smack in the middle, more or less, of that elliptical bay called Monterey Bay. You have Santa Cruz to the north, Monterey, California to the south. And it is the area known for apples, Parajo Valley apples. They've been growing it for a long time. That story is something you really want to listen to, whether you are based in the U.S. or anywhere else around the world, because this apple company that has been around for 150 years is worldwide, exporting apple juice worldwide to drink, not to ferment, but to drink. And they were founded as a cider-making company. Which brings me to some reminders for you that John Martinelli is going to be leading a tour to his main plant in Watsonville as part of the Totally Cider Tour to Monterey Bay. That's taking place on April 12th and 13th. People are already signing up for that. You have a limited time right now, between now and the end of this month, to get the reduced rate, then the prices start going up. Why do the prices start going up? Because that's how it happens when you set up this type of tour, I guess you would say. There's so much that I have to do to get it set up and reservations I'm setting. So this is an incentive for you to get your own reservations in for this amazing tour. In fact, next week's chat, I believe it's up on the docket, is with SoCal Cider, which is also on the tour, and that's with Laura Everett. She just won a Good Food Award for her cider. And we're going to be talking with Laura, finding out what's going on at the Everett family farm there, her orchard, her heirloom orchard, her husband's orchard. They have two little orchards there. It's kind of fun. And that's where we're going to have the cider dinner on this Monterey Bay cider tour. Again, that's taking place April 12th and 13th. You want to go to ciderchat.com, go to the page for Totally Cider. The drop-down menu will say Monterey Bay. That will give you the background, the details, and the reservation online form. And make sure to sign up soon, because folks are getting on this tour because they know what it's about and it's worthwhile to attend. I hope to see you on it, because I'll be there too. Now, I know that not everyone listening out there in Ciderville is going to the United States Association of Cider Makers annual trade conference, best known as CiderCon. But I think this chat here will still be informative. One is, you'll get to know who Ambrosia is. And this is someone that you really want to know, because Ambrosia is like a mover and shaker in the cider world. So stay tuned for that. But the other piece is, Ambrosia helped, or really does, set up Chicago Cider Week with all these crazy making events. And as such, I think that's really informative wherever you are in the world in terms of thinking of setting up your own special cider fest. What's Chicago doing? Because Chicago is a happening place. And what is Ambrosia doing to make this year's event as special as ever? So I think there's a lot to inform you. And if anything, it'll just make you thirsty for cider. And I think that is always time well spent. So let's now head to this chat with Ambrosia Borowski, who I asked to give us a bit of background on, well, how did Ambrosia get into this world of cider?
I came into cider about via the kitchen, really. I was a chef for a while, and then I decided to switch over to the front of the house through wine. And from wine, I found cider when I was living and spending a lot of time in England. And once I found cider, I just really never left.
Well, that's a good thing. Good thing for us. So your passion, you have passion of cider and also of spirits too. And when I think spirits in terms of apples and palms, I go towards Calvados, or what Americans would call apple brandy. Am I right about that?
Yeah, 100%. That's actually one of the things that I love about you, is that I know that I have a Calvados friend whenever we get together.
Oh my God, yes you do. Yes, you do. And I wonder, making the perfect like Calvados cocktail, that's something that I just really enjoy, a nice cocktail in that way. Do you have any tips for folks who are, you know, don't really know that that's even possible, how to approach something like that?
Yeah, so I have the pleasure of having a very large Calvados list. So I have a pick of very young Calvados or very old Calvados to make with cocktails, and I make a lot of cocktails with it throughout. So the younger it is, the more I tend to think more citrus, more vibrant flavors. And then the older it is, the more rich flavors I can play with. So if it's a young Calvados, I'll probably do something like a sidecar. If it's an older Calvados, I can do something like a Manhattan or a Sazerac. Really, any cocktail was originally made with brandy. And so it's really about just getting your head around how to change those flavors according to which brandy you're using.
Great. Well, that's a good tip. Just think about it in that way. Yeah. Take out the classic brandy and put in some Calvados. And when you say you have like a really extensive list there, now you are the general manager of the Northman in Chicago. So mm-hmm. when you say that there is a good extensive list there of Calvados, how extensive is it?
We have 41 Calvados right now. So it's, to my knowledge, it's the largest that I've ever seen, actually.
Very good. Well, there you have it. Is anybody going to Chicago for CiderCon or Chicago Cider Week or the Chicago Cider Summit? You know where to go if you want to try that. And not to mention the huge, lovely selections of ciders and perries. Now, the Northman has two different locations in Chicago. Are both locations open in the winter?
No, only the original location is open during the winter. The Riverwalk location is open seasonally during the spring, summer, and early fall.
Okay. And the original location, to get there from the main site where CiderCon is going to be taking place, how would you recommend folks getting over there? Doing like a ride share, like a Lyft or something? Or
The L, actually.
Oh, the L. Okay.
Yeah, the Brown Line. It's the best way to get up there.
Okay. And that's something that you could take right by the hotel.
Yeah, there's an L station not too far from the hotel, and you just can pop up for less than $3, and there's no traffic. You can hang out and read a book and see the city.
Okay, now, just to give folks who aren't really used to being in Chicago or an idea, you know, going out to the Northman, we might find ourselves out there late at night. So is the L something that we'd feel really comfortable hopping on and taking back to the conference center in the evening? Or would you recommend?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's a great tip. Myself, when I fly into the Chicago airport, which do you know what the ORD stands for, by the way?
Yeah, Orchard. Actually,
yeah.
It's actually off of Old Orchard Road. ORD is about the orchard.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love that. I take the train into the conference center, and the last time I was there, it was under $3 just to take that ride in on the train, and then it's a very short walk once you hop out of the station over to the conference center. Is that all the same system? It's all the same metro kind of system then. Is that right?
Yeah, we call it's the CTA. Yep. And the elevated trains are on the same system as our bus system.
Okay. So taking the L over to the Northman, not a big deal. That's probably like a 20-minute ride, more or less, would you say?
Yeah, give or take.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then once you hop off the L to get over to the Northman, is it a long walk or is that like a quarter block or
about five minutes?
Okay. Well, everybody should be putting their walking shoes on. What do you think we should be expecting for Chicago weather in February? I mean, how do people coming from all over the world. Yeah. You know, coming into CiderCon, what would you recommend?
Well, yesterday was 55 degrees Fahrenheit. And today we're looking at about 20, dropping down into the teens Fahrenheit. So February, if I could pull out my crystal ball, could be anywhere from 60 degrees to zero. It's really, really unexpected what's going to happen. I would think it would probably be hovering somewhere just below freezing.
Oh, well, I know when I was there 2 years ago for CiderCon, it was balmy. I mean, it was absolutely beautiful. So fingers crossed that happens again. But just on the chance that there is snow, does the L keep on moving during snow?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that's why it's the best. That's why it's the best option, is because we do a really good job in the city of salting and plowing and taking care of the streets, but the L is unstoppable. So there would be no way for it to be down.
Is that above ground or below ground, the L?
Most of it is above ground. The Brown Line, the one that services the North Mint to downtown, is above ground. But downtown, the Red Line and the Blue Line go under, just for the downtown space.
Okay, great. And what are the hours of the North Mint? Is it open 7 days a week?
We are open 7 days a week, from 5 p.m. to 2 a.m., Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday we open at noon for lunch.
Having been again to the Northman, knowing Ambrosia, knowing a good part of the team that works there, it's really a great place to go. And by the way, even though the other location isn't open right now, how's it going?
It's going really well. I have the pleasure of being the general manager down there as well, and we're really excited for 2019 with our build out and bigger and better, and what we're going to be able to have as a selection downtown. It's really cool to be able to provide awesome cider to all of the tourists and the city of Chicago. It's a bigger venue. We have about 600 seats down there.
Wow.
It's modeled after the beer gardens of Munich. And it's really a cool thing to be able to expose so many people to cider.
Yeah, that is like a learning center almost, part learning center and part cider bistro. Fantastic. Bravo. So you have that going on. You're working at the Northman. You're going to be delivering all week long during CiderCon. And then you have a couple other things going on here. So let's kind of, we're going to get back to the Northman, but let's talk about what you're going to be doing with the United States Association of Cider Makers, because you are involved in some presentation there. So could you talk about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, me and Charles McConagle are doing the Elements of Cider is our big event, which we are currently planning. It's typically about an hour and a half seminar that we typically teach before GlintCap, the Great Lakes International Cider and Perry Competition, for the judges to be able to train the people that are judging all the ciders. This year, we're going to expand it and make it a bigger and better class for everyone. So we're looking at an all-day event of doing the elements of cider, as well as our sweetness scale experimentations and understanding how people perceive sweetness based on tannin and acid. And then we're also going to be able to incorporate some styles in and understand style guides, not only with GlintCap, but incorporate what the USACM has just released as their style guide.
Fantastic. Yeah. I did see you at GlintCap last year in 2018, and you being with Charles, it's a nice little partnership there. That's pretty cool. How did that come about, by the way?
I actually don't know how it came about. I'm the kind of person in cider where, and this is the same for Northman, is where I bug them enough and tell them that they need me, they finally start believing me. So they eventually take me under their wing and let me work in the parts of cider that I'm really excited about. So meeting Charles and working with him on this presentation after Gary Audi decided to step down, Charles decided to bring me on board and be more of the human aspect to all the technical science that goes on during these presentations.
Now, one of the things I remember that there was a discussion about was mousy overtures that you could get in cider. And this has been something that's been coming up on Cider Chat a bit lately. And I don't know if you have this answer, and it's cool if you don't, because I'm kind of on the search right now. But THP, or what is known as tetrahydropyridine, there was a recent competition I recorded, and one of the judges said that the cider was served too early, and had it been given maybe like another month, the THP would have diminished. And that's typically that kind of like mousy overtures that you would get. Do you know anything about that? Is that something that you've heard before?
From my understanding, once it's there, it never goes away. It's a storage fault, from my understanding. It's something that happens once it's in storage, and once it's there, it's there to live.
There to live. Okay. All right. Well, you heard it from Ambrosio. We'll take that, and then we're going to keep on hunting down that. I'll ask Charles, too, when I get to see him in Chicago. But I thought that was kind of interesting that the judge brought it up. But anyways, so you're doing the Elements of Cider. Is there anything else that you're doing during the week? Any other presentations?
I am sitting on a panel about tasting cider with Lauren from Shelton Brothers. So that should be fun. But mostly I'm in charge of Chicago Cider Week. So I will be very busy outside of the occasional panel that I'm sitting on.
Yeah. And just so listeners know, Lauren Shepherd and Shelton Brothers. Shelton Brothers Importers is actually based like town next door to where I live here in Ciderville. And that is Dan Shelton who runs that. And for the longest time, Dan Shelton was an importer of beer and really well known for being using his attorney skills as an importer and pushing, I guess it would be the TTB on labeling when he brought in a beer called Santa's Butt, spelled B-U-T-T, and had to educate them what an actual butt is in terms of a cask carrying thing. So that was a really big litigation for Dan. And then since then, and I think really Cider Days here was probably a really big informative piece for Dan, they've gotten into importing cider. So that's who Lawrence Shepherd is, and you're going to be on that tasting panel. So that should be really fun too. Imagine that's one of the ticketed events.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so if you want to get those ticket events, don't delay for that. I opened up the Chicago Cider Week schedule, and this year, you're like screaming. I mean, there's like a lot of stuff going on. How about if we go down the list here and just take it from there, starting with like February 4th?
So the launch is Friday, February 1st. We have the launch party at the Northman, where you can come and pick up your official Chicago Cider Week guide, learn about events, buy t-shirts, and just drink some cider to get ready for the week that's about to come. And then, yeah, so we start with CiderCon, which starts to get rolling on the 4th. The CiderCon Handshake. I'm really excited about this event. So we have a thing in Chicago called the Handshake, and we've taken that along with Blake's Cider to incorporate cider into the Handshake. At the Northman, we also have our version of the Handshake, which involves Calvados, obviously. Jake Melnix is also happening on Monday. Jake Melnix has been a staple of CiderCon and Cider Week before it all got organized. Jake Melnix has always put together a really fun experience for lots and lots of ciders. Up at the Northman, we are doing our classic cider school. We do cider school every Monday at 7 o'clock. And this year's theme for Chicago or for CiderCon is Canada. So we are incorporating Canada into our cider school and doing a full-on Canadian cider school there. We've also got Clark Street Ale House is kicking off on Monday as well. They are also a awesome Chicago staple and a staple of Chicago Cider Week. Going into Tuesday, we've got Gabe Cook is actually coming into town. He is the cerologist. He will be doing a book launch at the Northman. We'll have copies for sale. He'll be signing, and you'll get to see that glorious mustache of his. And Bright Bee Cider is also doing a trivia night, which should be really fun. Wednesday is when we start to get hairy. Everyone's in town. We'll have the bottle share going on down at Con. All of the other restaurants are having events going on as well. We'll have East Coast versus West Coast at Dry Hop, which is one of our favorite breweries in the city. They're doing a whirly ball competition between Guy Don Cole at Original Sin and Paul Vanderhyde of Vandermill. We'll be duking it out in the whirly ball court, which I really wish I get to go see. We're doing some tap releases, and Two Towns, which is one of our major sponsors for Chicago Cider Week, will also be doing a Meet the Maker right before Dave has to hop over to the Meet the Kiever section, which I'm super excited about. We're having over at Aris. Aris is one of the newest additions. They actually opened during CiderCon last year, and this is one of Michelle Foyk's long, beautiful projects. Aris is a brewery and a cidery at the same time. They make both inside. They're doing a hop rub and explaining how to incorporate hops into cider with Nunzio Pisa, and that should be really fun. That is a ticketed event. All this can be found on the Chicago Cider Week website if you need tickets for things. Two Fools is also doing a tap takeover. Two Fools is one of the newer cideries coming out of Naperville. Naperville is probably about an hour north of the city, so that should be fun. Seattle Cider is also coming out, and they have a couple of cool events happening, including coloring, which I love adult coloring. It's something that I've been doing a lot of lately. I have my Bowie coloring book. We just celebrated his birthday yesterday at the Northman. Big fans of David Bowie. Dan with the Cider Box is also coming out from England. We have a pretty good showing from England coming out this year. And they're working on a cider and cheese class that's going to be happening at Aris as well. Stem Ciders is also one of our major sponsors, and they have a couple of cool events, including a foosball competition that they're doing at Logan Emporium on the Thursday. In Chicago, we really love our arcade bars, so we're constantly going to them playing games while we're drinking. Vandermill is also doing an event at another one of our arcade bars, which would be really fun. We also have on that Thursday our annual Ireland and UK Cider Karaoke competition. Last year, the trophy went to a fantastic singer. Third place was clinched by someone who chose to sing the Proclaimers in honor of Tom Oliver. I have talked to Tom, and he is rumored to be coming to the karaoke competition. So that should be a lot of fun. On the Friday night, we have a cider cocktail competition, which should be loads of fun. And all of these competitions, all the money is going to separate charities. For the karaoke competition, I choose to go to the Helen David Relief Fund, which is an organization that provides help for bartenders, specifically with breast cancer. I work very closely with the U.S. BG, which is the United States Bartender Guild. And so we're going to see if we can raise some funds to help with breast cancer. All the cocktail competitions and the kickoffs are going to charities of everyone else's choices. And it's really important for me for Chicago Cider Week to make sure that we are giving back with all of the things that we do. And it finally ends on Saturday with the Chicago Cider Summit. Cider Summit is an awesome event put on by Alan Shapiro, and he has a few over on the West Coast. But the Chicago one, I am told, comes in the biggest numbers. We have the absolute best showing in this city, and that happens at Navy Pier in the Grand Ballroom. And I can't wait to see everyone and their ciders at that event. It's a huge showing.
Now, you said that there was a keeving workshop or presentation. What's that going to be? And what day is that again?
So the keeving event is with Martin over at Pilton. He's coming over from England, and it's going to be at the Green Lady at 8:30 on the 6th. That is going to be with Pilton, Angry Orchard, Ryan Burke will be there, Two Towns, Dave Tookish, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He'll also be there. And it's kind of like a meet the makers, meet the keevers club, just to hang out and drink some keeped cider.
That sounds awesome. And then there's, you said there's cocktail competitions. There's actually two different cocktail competitions, one with Blake's, which is a Michigan-based cidery, and then Two Towns, and Two Towns is Oregon. Am I right about that, Oregon?
Yes.
Yeah. What's the difference there? The Blake's cider cocktail kicked off, and then the charity cider cocktail competition. How does that work?
So the cider cocktail kickoff, the cocktails are already be made. It's not really a competition. It's just having some cocktails. STEM is also doing a cocktail event. We really like to drink our cider and cocktails here in Chicago. At the Northman, we always have a big selection of cider cocktails. And I actually have an interview later today for a Chicago publication on how to put cider in cocktails. So those events with STEM and Blake's will be, the cocktails will be prepared for you. All you have to do is drink them. It's pretty easy. The event with Two Towns is an actual competition where we'll have 10 competitors displaying their cocktails, and you get to drink them and decide who the winner is. And all of the funds for donations will be to the charity of the cocktail winner's choice.
You've really put together quite an event map here. What would you recommend there for people trying to like look at all like the candy in the candy box and where to go first?
Yeah, so I have about 5 events that I still need to add today. It's tough. Chicago Cider Week is literally just me and my assistant. So we work as hard as we can during our non, I guess you could say, day jobs to put all these in. So I have about those. And then I just got another email today adding, I think I saw 6 events in the email. And I will continue to get emails up until the first week of February from people. So it's just going to continue to go and continue to add on. So I would just say to continuously check the website. And also this year, USACM has put together an app for CiderCon, which is really exciting. And we'll be adding our sponsored events to that app as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, that app is a really nice feature right now. In fact, I just left a review the other day for Ambrosia. So if you want to see that, you should be getting that app. Go to ciderassociation.org. You'll see the link to do that. And the code to put it in too. Do you have any advice? You know, folks come into CiderCon and sometimes you have cider makers are traveling alone. It's kind of overwhelming. They might be used to being out in the orchard and they're not used to being in a city like Chicago. And then you see this cacophony of events in front of them. What advice might you have for someone who's really new to this approaching Chicago Cider Week?
My first piece of advice would be to get a cider in your hand. I think that's the most important way to tackle anything, really. But then from there, I would go to any of the major cider providers in the city, Aris, the Northmen. There's a new place that's popping up. It's called the Sleeping Village. They have a pretty good cider selection, but I would just find one space and kind of just tuck in and enjoy some cider and hang out with the people that come in and out.
And I heard that this year the attendance at CiderCon is just going to be like through the roof. So there's always going to be somebody to catch up with and to meet, and it's all about networking. That's good advice. Definitely always start with a cider in your hand. Hey, geez, I pack it in my luggage, so as soon as I land, I can pop one and get myself landed before I walk out of the Orchard Airport there in Chicago. Well, that's great. Anything else we should know about Chicago in terms of the area where the conference is being held? And any advice around that little scene? Is it a place that you would recommend to have food or to like take the L and get out of that area and head out to Eris, which is, Eris isn't too far from the Northmen, from what I understand. Is that something that people could take like the CTA to and from?
Yep, they're right off the blue line. Is their L of choice. Yeah, I highly recommend going out. Just get out of downtown. Nobody in Chicago stays downtown. Nobody goes down there to hang out. It's really a financial district. We're more of a neighborhood city. If you really want to get a good Chicago experience, get out of downtown, go to one of the neighborhoods, grab a slice of pizza, and take advantage of our public transportation. It's one of the best in the U.S. I've traveled a lot, and I always remember how good our public transportation is once I leave here. We also do have Lyft and Uber, and those are great ways to get around. But get out of downtown. Go to the neighborhoods. We've got Lincoln Park is absolutely amazing. If you want to get into nature and outdoors, Chicago actually was one of the first cities to really care about a park system. And so we have beautiful parks. We have indoor spaces in our parks as well. Over in Lincoln Park, you can go into the conservatory. Also, Garfield Park has one too. So if you want to escape the cold weather for a minute and hang out with some nature, definitely check out the parks. But we have so many good restaurants and so many great places to eat, but you just have to explore a little bit.
Already, since I had this conversation with Ambrosia and now posting this here podcast episode, the number of events listed for Chicago Cider Week has increased. So you want to keep on going back to that website. Just go to chicagociderweek.org. If you are attending CiderCon and you download the app that you can find at ciderassociation.org, you will see a list of all the workshops with the speakers. And in addition, for Chicago Cider Week, there is a list of different events happening each evening that are sponsored events. So not all of them are sponsored. So again, you want to go to chicagociderweek.org to get the full lineup. And I really recommend don't wait until you arrive in Chicago, because folks are going to be asking you what to do and you're going to be like, I don't know. And you might go out to something and then kind of miss something that you didn't even know existed. So take the time now to prepare to make your time in Chicago as worthwhile as possible. You know, we spend the entire year building up to CiderCon, and it's really worth your while to go out at night, have a good time, make sure, okay, now here's my tips. Here's my tips as a professional drinker. Make sure that you hydrate. For every cider you have a glass of water, and then take a shower at night. You know, rehydrate your skin. Your skin is your largest organ on your body. You take care of your body. Your body will take care of you. You'll be able to wake up in the morning, and you do want to be there early because things start happening at 9 a.m. in the morning. Find some time to take a nap, which is another good reason to be staying on site at the hotel. Go back, take a little bit of a 3-minute cat nap, and then you're ready to rip it out into the evening events. It's going to be so much fun. both of us are going to be landing at the O'Hara Airport. Remember, that's ORD, which stands for the Orchard Field that it once was. You could take a taxi downtown from O'Hara, and it could be anywhere from like $50 to $30. I'm not quite sure. Or, like many of us, you could take public transportation from O'Hara. I did it the last time I was there. It was super easy. You know, get yourself off the airplane, go find yourself a coffee, or open up your suitcase, crack open a bottle of cider. Well, maybe you should wait. I don't think they have an open container law there, even though I was joking around with Ambrosia about that. Then you just kind of follow the signs that goes down to like the public transportation. Have it set up on your Google app. Take a look at it before you leave home just to get your bearings. Because that's kind of the most, I don't know, wonky time when you're really tired and you're not thinking clear. So if you do a little bit of a pre-game setup, you'll be good to go. And I think it costs like, it's under $3 to take the train in. Takes about almost an hour. You get out and you walk there to the Hilton location. It's a short walk. I've done it with like two suitcases. Along the way, you could kind of stop, maybe pick up a little bit of food, get your bearings. If you're like me and you're flying in early, then, you know, you have a little bit of time before you actually check into the hotel. And once you're at CiderCon, it's going to be just like go, go, go. Don't feel overwhelmed, though. You know, reach out to people. Everybody's friendly. Everybody wants a network. Get your bearings and have fun. That's what it's all about. You can find out a lot of what I was talking about on this week's chat by going to episode 163, Pro Tips for Navigating CiderCon, and you'll see all the links there that both myself and Ambrosia are talking about to help you navigate CiderCon and feel like a pro. Like I said, there is a lot going on in 2019. We're already hitting the ground running out there in Ciderville. And speaking of which, if you are a pro, you're a commercial maker, don't forget about sending in your ciders now for the New York International Cider Competition. The actual competition takes place on February 10th in New York City. The judges are trade buyers. They work for cider bars. They work for distribution. And they will be judging on category and price point. Very unique type of judging. I already know some cideries that are submitting their entries. I won't say who that is because I don't want to give the heads up to the judges. It is a blind tasting, right? So we want to keep it that way. Go to the show notes. You'll find the links to send in your entry form or just Google New York International Cider Competition. And again, a reminder, if you want to enter the Berlin, Germany competition put on by the same organization, you can send extra ciders, submit your entry form, and they will ship your ciders for free to Berlin, Germany. That's also true for Canadians, too. So this is not just a U.S.-based deal. If you're a Canadian cider maker, you want to get in on this, check it out. It's the New York International Cider Competition. I really think it's worthwhile. What they're doing there. And not to mention, once again, that Adam Levy said that if there was enough ciders put into last year's competition, he would not call it the New York International Beer Competition, but call it the New York International Cider Competition. And I think that speaks volumes right there. Again, all that info is in the links to this year episode 163, Pro Tips for Navigating CiderCon. Well, of course, I'm going to be at CiderCon too, and I'll be recording the whole time while I'm there. I hope it's not so much like Baltimore, where folks just saw me kind of on the run from hidden room to hidden room to be doing the recording. I'm trying to make it a little bit more sane. I will be introducing Ryan Monkman of Fieldbird Cider. You do know that the Canadians are going to be on site. They are the guest of honor this year, and that's super exciting. So it's going to be British Columbia makers, Ontario, Quebec. It's something. It's really something. I'm really excited for Canada, for them to get the visibility. A lot of people don't know ice cider was invented essentially in Canada. And that makes sense, right? Because where else would it be so cold that you could put the juice out and have it freeze? And then pull out that juice from the water, and then start fermenting. So we have some exciting times ahead, and Ryan Monkman has been a real great supporter of this here podcast. Took me on a tour of Ontario Makers this past June 2018, and now he's going to be speaking about oak and cider making at CiderCon. So I'll be introducing Ryan. I'm also going to be recording that episode that I'll be airing later on. I'm hoping to record a couple different workshops, but I can't record everything because, I mean, then why would it be worth anybody to go to CiderCon, right? So I'll be doing a little bit of that. I'm also having a sit-down with Simon Day of Once Upon a Tree. That is a UK-based cidery. Very excited to share Simon's story. And I'm also meeting with Lee Reeve of Insider Japan. If you don't know about Insider Japan, you might want to go to episode 114, which I had with Lee. But at that point, we were Skyping. I don't know, it was probably the next day already where he was in Japan and where I was here in my spot of Ciderville. But in this case, Lee's going to be on site. And Insider Japan is Japan's first and only bilingual magazine dedicated to all things cider. He's been producing this for a while. He's really passionate. He's a Brit who is living in Japan. And wow, what an opportunity. He's obviously fluent in English, and it's going to be a fun sit down to talk to him. I hear that they are going to be pouring some Japanese ciders at the Cider Share. I do believe that's true. And I'll be able to try some Japanese ciders for the first time too. So that's really exciting for me, because next year, 2020, the honored guest at CiderCon, which is going to be taking place in Oakland, California, will be Japan. Wow, right? So we have some good stuff coming up. Anybody that tells you things aren't happening in Ciderville, they don't know. They aren't paying attention, because there is a lot happening. And one of the things I'd also like to say about Lee Reeve, I really want to do a big tip of the glass, because via Insider Japan, they just joined the Cider Going Up campaign for Cider Chat. And that's a special patron level via Patreon where makers in the professional setting are able to support Cider Chat. So a big tip of the glass to Lee. I know he's pushing it. Being in media too, and the fact that he stepped out and took that step forward to support this here podcast just blows my mind. What an honor. And I'm really excited on so many levels to showcase Japan, not to mention that I have one whole side of my family, which is Japanese. So they're stoked too. And they weren't cider makers, but now they are. You know, that's pretty neat. If, like Lee Reeve and Insider Japan, you like what you hear on this here podcast, well, do become a patron of this here chat today. Go to the Cider Chat Patreon page. That's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Just Google it. You'll find the link. And you have a whole selection of different levels that you could join up on. Last week, I posted an extra 19 minutes of audio with a John Martinelli. Him talking about finding a lost file to complete the 150-year anniversary book, and also his take on American cider makers. So that was very interesting, and that went special out to the patrons, which is what I try to do, and there's also other great bennies too. Certainly the fact of knowing that you are helping to support this podcast so I could keep on producing it weekly just for you. Again, go to Patreon, that's spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N, or find the link in the show notes to this here episode 163. Well, the sun is still out, so that means I have a little bit of time to head out to the orchard too and see what the talking palms are up to. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode feature all about what you could do during and after the workshops at CiderCon. There's going to be a lot happening in Chicago during the week of February 4th through to the 8th and culminating on the 9th with the Chicago Cider Summit. Remember, I'll be there. Look for the Cider Chat table. And before I go, I want to give you another reminder to check out the Monterey Bay Cider Tour, April 12th and 13th. If you're sitting on the fence, well, that's no fun at all, because if it's a picket fence, well, that's kind of uncomfortable. Come on to the comfy side and sign up for the tour. It, again, is going out to Monterey Bay, California, a two-day event with six makers, tours, and tasting, culminating with a cider dinner at SoCal Cider out in the orchard. It's going to be a humdinger of a time. Check it out at the Totally Cider page at ciderchat.com. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Going up. Yeehaw!